You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two on your way here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kind of talking about the speed and the second baseman, the early tier here. Not really a second base rank question. We'll get to those later this month. Of course, full rankings will be available when, Scotty, at rotoexperts.com?
February 15th.
There you go. The day after Valentine's Day, you can get your husband the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge package for Valentine's Day.
Or your wife.
Why are you being sexist?
Or your wife. Wait, hold on, Tony. If I said get your wife this, would that have been sexist?
Yeah, that would have been.
All right, so now well, let me ask
you. Gonna be like, you better go back to the stove.
Corey, will you be getting anybody anything for Valentine's Day?
Probably so.
Probably so.
Let's
okay.
keep moving.
How about a Roto Experts exclusive edge package?
That won't be it. You buy when you imagine the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. You better buy some lotion too.
Hey, that's true. Tony, Daniel Murphy, with the guys we've been talking about, right? Like the four guys we listed in the poll, plus D. Gordon. Where do you put Daniel Murphy, who I'm calling like a Robinson Cano light here?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I think you could go and you could put him at number three.
Okay.
But I would put him at four. Okay. I would probably go, just using second baseman, Altuve, Turner, Cano, Murphy, and then Dozier, Odor. I would slide Daniel Murphy in there. Okay. You look at the batting average. It's always been consistent right around 300 for him. 30 home runs, 300 batting average, hitting the middle of that batting order. You're going to come up a little light on steals, but you're not going to get no steals from Murphy either.
The one thing that I know about Murphy, having covered him over the years and the people around him, is that, you know, this guy is a gym rat when it comes to baseball. The guy's to always study in film, always looking for an advantage, always going through statistics and numbers. He's always looking for ways to improve. And, you know, there was a talk that, you know, one day this guy should be a hitting coach, because that's just, you know, he's just a total gym rat in terms of hitting. So I don't think the improvements really shock anybody that we've seen since he's gone to Washington.
The biggest improvement I think is shocking is the power.
Yeah.
Like this came out of nowhere.
He said, you know, I tried to, you know, talk to him about it. He was like, you know, I made some, you know, subtle improvements with Kevin Long, you know, just before I left the Mets, that I felt really improved me, you know, as a power hitter.
His hard hit rate went up. Fly ball rate went up also. It's an intriguing play at second base. I think it's a guy that I can get in on. I kind of like him where he is, where he's ranked now. I still think I'd take, like, the Odor over him and stuff like that. Definitely not the D. Gordons and guys of that nature. Not really Robbie Cano, because he's going to hit 20 bombs, not 30 bombs. But the batting average will give you a little bit more there also. But, yeah, I like him. I'm in on him. I have to ask this. Does he have any eligibility besides second base?
I don't believe so anymore.
Okay.
I will look that up for you now.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Yeah, I don't believe so either.
I believe that the Nats actually kept him at second base and didn't play him at first or third.
My Washington Nationals.
Your Washington Nationals, yes, of course. I was probably not wearing your Nationals hat today.
I will.
You got a lot of hats. You must have a lot of hats.
Last year he played 21 games at first base.
Oh, he did play at first base. Okay.
Oh, yeah, so he'll have first base eligibility.
Oh. Yeah.
How about that?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's good,
so
right?
He's first and second base eligible. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay.
You can play him at corner and middle too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that.
Oh shit!
Yeah, see,
how about that?
That he's means less. Yeah, that means that's less valuable for an elite player like him, like a guy you pick the fourth or fifth round. But later in the draft, if you could find those guys that are eligible at middle and corner, that's
Eduardo Nunez.
Right, Eduardo Nunez, certainly one of those who'll be eligible at middle. He'll be at middle, shortstop and third base, right?
Yeah,
for Eduardo Nunez. Okay.
I think Jed Jerko, too.
Jed Jerko probably will be, sure. Yeah. Who had a good year. Two guys that we definitely have to talk about. Let's get to another poll question that you had here, Tony, that kind of extends what we were talking about. And that was in regards to speed. You asked Scotty a few moments ago when he said he wanted to wait on a guy like VR because
he wanted to wait a little bit longer for his speed. So you actually asked the question last week. Listen, you're waiting until a little bit later on. Who are you most likely to target for steals? Now, the answer in this poll question, far and away, was Jerod Dyson. I know you picked him. We talked about Jerod Dyson last week. Yeah. So I took him out of the discussion for our purposes. You put here, the other three choices were Melvin Upton, Travis Jankowski, and Enderson Ciarte. And why don't we just include, because we brought him up, why don't we include Eduardo Nunez here also, who stole 40 bases last year. So, Melvin Upton Jr., Travis Jankowski, Enderson Ciarte, Eduardo Nunez. Tony, how would you break that down, those four players?
I would take, if I was just taking him at face value and I had to pick the best player, I think I would take Eduardo Nunez.
Okay.
He's the problem is he switched leagues, so there's some problem there. Defensively, we never know how he's going to play, but they were happy with him at third base last season. They thought he played very well defensively. The problem is he's hitting eighth in that order, which is always, when you're up in front of the pitcher, you're not going to steal a base with two outs.
Right.
That automatically eliminates it because then the pitcher would lead off the inning, so they don't want that. So that takes some stolen bases out of your situation. Now, if I'm just taking four stolen bases and I have Jankowski, Upton, and who was the other one?
And Ciarte.
I'd go in Ciarte. I really think that this kid has the ability to score 90 runs hitting leadoff in Atlanta. Which he's a 290 hitter, great average hitter, and he hasn't done in a while. But at the minor league level in 2013, he stole 43 bases. In 2012, he stole 40 bases. And he hasn't done it at the major league level. The best he's done last year was 16. If he hits 290, which I think he can do again because he always makes contact, I think he get 90 runs scored and I get a chance to get 30 stolen bases. This is the guy that I want for speed at the end.
Yeah, I'm with Tony here. It's, you know, saw the Braves play live a few times last year, and the last series that they came in, you know, there's a lot of talk of the future. They acquired a lot of prospects, but they feel like Ciarte is like a real glue guy for them going forward. And feel a lot of the reasons that Tony just indicated, you know, this guy really improved during the second half. He hit 227 during the second half. The first half, in the second half, when he started pulling the ball more and refining himself more as a hitter, he hit 341 with 59 runs scored. You know, this is a guy that I grabbed in the 13th round of our mock, and I said, you know, this is good value here. I think it was like 13th or 14th round. Ciarte, you know, this is the Braves definitely have them as like one of their rocks as they look towards the future. You look at Jankowski, all he does is hit stolen bases. I think he drove in just like 12 runs, like at over 300 at bats, and you know the guy strikes out all the time. You look at Melvin Upton Jr. You know, he hit 20 home runs for the fourth time in his career, and I think finally getting out of Atlanta eventually, and it kind of got out of his, you know, he started to improve mentally. You saw the pop come back, but he's always going to be a drain on the batting average. I took Upton in like the 23rd round of that mock, though, because at that point you can't overlook 2020. But, you know, if you just go for the pure speed at the end of the draft, I think Ciarte is the guy.
I think Ciarte, make it a hat trick. I think for number one, he's the everyday player more than likely. You know what I mean? He's the guy that's going to be out there, get the at-bats, be in the lineup, scoring runs, stealing bases, batting average would be probably in that 285 to 290 range. Like I said, no real competition for the job. He's locked in. So I go Ciarte. The Jankowski kid is a good player also, but I think he's going to have trouble getting on the field, especially if they bring up all, you know,
Margot.
Thank you very much, dear
Manuel Margot.
Now that could be another guy for cheap speed down the stretch.
Sure.
Either.
Yeah.
The Margot dude. So and then Melvin. I mean, we know what Melvin Upton is. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of this.
The problem with Upton, besides
drug smoking. You know what I mean?
The problem with Upton, despite the success last year, is that if he goes in a slump, Ezekiel Carrera will end up platooning with him.
Yep.
And Carrera will be the guy playing against righty, so he'll get more playing time. And that's my only concern. But if you can get him, you know, like Scott just said, in the 23rd round, which he's going later than that in some drafts, and you get 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases, and you can take a shot. Yeah, take a shot. I'm there. But there's negatives there. Besides the bad batting average, there might be the ability to play himself off the field.
I'm already looking back at that December 2015 trade between the Diamondbacks and the Braves. The Diamondbacks get Inciarte, Dansby Swanson, and Aaron Blair, who's still refining himself, for Shelby Miller and Gabe Spire.
I also want to make clear, going back to Melvin Upton here, I want to make clear that 20 of those 27 steals last year came in San Diego. Seven came when he went over to the AL, went to Toronto. He batted almost 260 with San Diego, under 200 with Toronto. This is the old Melvin Upton that sucked that we're talking about. I know he hit 2020. I know 2020 last year. 16 of the home runs in San Diego, just four in Toronto. Again, it's a smaller sample size. I totally understand that. Tony's 1,000,000% right. If Upton gets out to a slump to start off the year, he is going to split time with Ezekiel Carrera immediately. And they are not going to wait until June for that, right? Like, this is going to be something that starts in May. So, to me, Melvin Upton's clearly not the answer here. Travis Jankowski, the average is bad. The steals will be there. He just doesn't do anything else. So.
But he's intriguing. You know what I'm
saying?
Fine.
He's fine. Like, he's going to lose his job to Manuel Margot at some point.
Yeah.
Like, you know that. It's not,
well, not definitely, because Dickerson could lose the job.
That's true.
If Jankowski. So someone will lose the job to Margot, but it could go either way.
When do we expect Manuel Margot up?
I have no idea with these guys, because every franchise is on a different schedule, and they have a different way of going about it. Some try to save money. Some try to develop the players. I don't know what kind of situation San Diego's in. I don't think they think they're going to win it anytime soon.
Sure.
So they could be looking at it from a cost-effective situation there.
Okay, yeah, it's interesting because Malik Smith was playing center field for the Braves last year, and then they got rid of him.
He's playing center field with Tampa.
Malik Smith is a guy who, you know, very late speed, but I just don't know if he's polished enough to make an impact this year, you know, in like a dynasty format. I'm very interested.
I don't even know if he's gonna start.
Really?
For Tampa.
That's what I'm saying.
I've read a couple things that it's kind of crazy. Like, you would think that they made that move that he would start, but like Roster Resource doesn't have him starting, and there's a couple other places out there where they list him as the fourth outfielder.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Now, that could be like...
That's what happened in Atlanta,
Corey
too.
Dickerson
they got an injury, too, and he got a chance to play.
Corey Dickerson is a DH?
DH, yeah.
Wow.
So you have Kevin Kiermaier, who's very underrated. There's Steven Souza Jr.
Right.
Being one, and Desmond Jennings.
Desmond Jennings is still on that team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here's the thing.
Remember that he was a thing?
That guy, like, he was in Atlanta. He's one injury away from giving you some very cheap speed.
Desmond Jennings. I thought that guy was a free agent.
Hey, but Margot should start the season.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh.
Should start the season. And he might hit Leo.
Well, if he does that, that changes everything. And Travis Jankowski might not even have a job, so we shouldn't even be talking about him.
Yep.
Desmond Jennings is a free agent. Tone. Is the roster resource?
Yeah, he is. I thought they have him listed there. So.
Yep, so there you go. Now, Smith, you be.
You know what's crazy? A roster resource, I found another.
Mistake?
All these were. Yeah, there's a couple. I don't want to throw them all. So when you start doing these drafts, right, you start going over there, you go, they have a team.
They're doing their job.
There's a team.
The official race.
Their opening day starter might not be on. Is not listed as in their rotation.
Oh,
the official Rays depth chart has Malik Smith as their starting left fielder.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Cause
what's the official depth chart? Where do we find that?
I just Google. I always Google like Rays depth chart or Rockies depth chart, and you know MLB.com usually has. They're usually pretty updated. The MLB.com ones.
Well, if they're official, shouldn't they be? I don't think what I'm saying is I don't think there is an official one, because I go to MLB.com and I'll find three wrong there too.
Yeah, you know, again, it's February. The guys haven't even gone to spring training yet, so it's like
I used to go to Sandlot Shrink, Scott. What about them?
Oh, that was
Dennis Lepore. That guy's been around forever.
Yeah. You like them? You think they're accurate?
I don't. I haven't been on Sandlot Shrink in about 20 years, so I can't say. Oh,
yeah. No, they're excellent.
No, I can't say whether I can't say whether they're good or bad, you know?
20 years ago, I was
friendly on the site 20 years ago because when I was first working at CBS Sportsline, Dennis would write for us, and some of his writers would write for us, so I'd be familiar with the work. There's sometimes I just don't have time to go on certain sites. And, you know, I haven't been on Dennis's sites, but him and some of his guys have been doing it for a very long time, so that has to say something, you know?
I can't even get on Roster Resource.
Man. Oh, here is the – no, here's the why I had a brain fart. Malik Smith is the fourth outfielder because of Colby Rasmus.
Right, they don't have Rasmus there. Yeah, they just – yeah.
No, but Rasmus, yeah. Rasmus conceivably could play first base for them maybe? Right, they don't have first base, Brad Miller going to play second, I think.
Well, that's see that goes back and forth because they have Nick Franklin there and Matt Duffy's at short.
Right.
So, I think they want Brad Miller to play second base.
Yep. Yep. I think so too.
So yeah, that was it. Colby Rasmus was the other guy. I couldn't remember who it was.
Right, and then you could conceivably put Corey Dickerson back in the outfield. You put Rasmus at DH, and you assign a first baseman. Then Malik Smith's a fourth outfielder. So there you go.
Yeah. It's never possible. Still, he's like an injury away from giving you some speed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's what happened last year with Atlanta.
Yes, yes. Let's talk more about Ener Inciarte versus Eduardo Nunez because they went closest in the FSCA draft, and we've heard Tony's thoughts on Eduardo Nunez. I want to get Scotty's and Corey's thoughts as well. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So Ender Inciarte in the FSTA draft went around 15. Eduardo Nunez, despite batting eighth as Tony projects, Nunez went at the top of the 11th round, so significantly higher than Enders Inciarte. Now, understandably so, right? Like we saw Nunez with the eligibility at shortstop and third base. He stole 40 bases last year, which is obviously a very, very high number. But he could bat eighth. He's not going to steal all that much batting in the eighth position. Last year, the numbers were fantastic. 16 home runs, 40 stolen bases, batted .288. The BABIP wasn't crazy. I mean, it was the same it was the year before at .314. Doesn't really strike out all that much. This could be Eduardo Nunez just finally getting some playing time and doing, you know, something with it. What do you project, Scotty, full season in San Francisco from Eduardo Nunez?
Well, you know, the thing between him and Inciarte is like, you know, Inciarte, 26 years old, is still viewed as like a player on the come, whereas like I think a lot of fantasy analysts don't believe in Nunez from what I'm seeing. You know, they think he's like a 29-year-old journeyman type who had a career season. I think, you know, you make a great point that he's going to hit eighth, but, you know, he elevated his fly ball rate, and I think, you know, the feeling around the majors is he's always been a solid hitter who made more of the bat. So you know, I think it fits somewhere in the middle of that conversation. The projections I'm usually seeing for him call for about hitting 270 with about 10 home runs and 25 to 30 steals.
Corey, right, you gotta put your mic on, my man. Now, this floor is gonna put your mic on, my man.
There you go, right there. This is a tough call right here. You got basically two similar players. It's just a matter of your own personal preference. Both of these guys locked into everyday jobs coming up for this season. Nunez's batting average, though, I think is what separates them is the batting average here. Not to mention you get a little bit of. Oh, it really is about the same, little bit of pop. They're basically the same player.
Well, they are. Inciarte hit three home runs. Yeah. Eduardo Nunez at 16. And that's the difference here.
Well, I mean, so you give him the seven home run advantage. But, yeah, I think I would give the slight edge to Nunez.
I think it might be at about 10, 15 points more on batting average from Inciarte and the run scored.
One of them batted .288 last year. The other one batted .291.
He hit .341 during the second half, though. .227 during the first.
So is he a first half? So how do we see the second
half? I think, you know, this could be a .295 hitter here, you know?
That's fine. It was .291 last year.
Whereas, I think Nunez made more of like a .275, .280.
Okay, so you get 15 points. Is it? So 15 points.
Yeah, so
okay.
15 points. Like I said,
that's
10,
what you said. Yeah.
10 points on batting average. Okay. I think you might get more runs scored and maybe more overall steals from Inciarte, or it might be about a tie.
Okay, so they're similar then.
Yeah, but you know, do you want to take, like, you're not going to get any pop from Inciarte,
right?
You know, you could get a dozen, 11 from Nunez.
You got 16 last year.
The thing is, I'm cutting a few off.
Okay.
I'm cutting a few off.
Okay.
The thing is, though, is that, you know, when you dig deeper and you look at it in context, you know, it would, some people look at this as an outlier season for Nunez, whereas Inciarte, you feel like the best is yet to come.
Okay, and that's
completely reasonable. The difference right there.
Right, so that's the difference. So,
yeah.
But as we kind of talked about with D. Gordon versus Billy Hamilton a moment ago, Scotty, you do have that position eligibility here, right? Like Nunez is a shortstop slash third baseman, and Ciarte is an outfielder.
Right.
So that could play into it a little bit as well.
Right. It's been a big way, yes.
Right. So I look at this, right? This could be a shortstop, and I'm not. Let's do exactly what you just did, Scott. Let's take away some numbers across the board and say maybe this is the best of what we're getting in Eduardo Nunez. He's batting the eighth spot. Maybe he doesn't steal 40 bases
anymore. He's changing leagues.
Yeah. He steals.
He's never played in the National League before.
Can he steal 25 bases? Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. Very fair.
So he steals 25 bases, let's say. Home runs drop to, let's say, 12, I guess. He'll bat
280.
280, let's say. We're getting.
Score 60 runs.
That's a guy as a shortstop I'm going to take, I think. You give me 30, you give me 25 stolen bases?
Yeah, I'll take it.
That's pretty good.
I was considering in my keeper league, I had him at $7 about whether to throw him back or not, but then I looked at my scoring format, you know, and I don't know how much is it going to be there in slugging percentage or, you know, on base, so I ended up throwing him back. I do have net stolen bases where I liked him, but, you know, I had to make a sacrifice to keep Jake Arrieta. Somebody's got to go.
I'm just interested, Tony, just learning more about Nunez, because I think you guys are all right, right? It's Ender Inciarte is a player on the rise that, like, he's seemingly only going to get better with the more playing time he has. Batting leadoff for the Braves, a lot to like here. But I don't want to just necessarily sleep on Nunez, because maybe this guy's a little Justin Turner type, right? Like, changes swing a little bit, like, gets a little older, has a career year, and he comes back and does it again.
Look, I talked to people in the Yankees organization earlier in his career that they were very high on this guy.
Right.
They felt natural talent and ability. They felt, you know, that this was the guy that eventually might be able to, you know, to play consistent middle infield spot for him, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I look at this guy as an offensive threat that was always there, but they couldn't find a position for him.
Right.
And then the San Francisco Giants, the last year, as I was doing the research, because I kept letting him slide, because you just don't know what you're getting from a guy that just rises up and puts together one of you. But they liked him defensively at third base. They think he can definitely handle it. So if they're comfortable with him there, he's going to stay on the field. Now, the 40 stolen bases is a lot of stolen bases.
So many stolen bases.
He did have, though, 22 and 338 plate appearances in 2011.
Yep.
So he's got the capability, but I think he's going to be down to 25.
He had 16 and nearly half that, like, a year later in AAA.
What's wrong with 25 and double-digit home runs?
Right.
It's going to hit 280.
Right. As a shortstop, there's nothing. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's pretty good from an 11th-round shortstop, I think.
Steamer has him at 267 with 11 home runs and 24 RBIs. Fans have him at 274 with 10 home runs and 30 RBIs. I mean, 30 stolen bases.
30 stolen bases.
Yeah, 24 for Steamer.
And if he could just move up, and it's not like, of course, a lock that he's going to bat 8th. Like, we don't necessarily know that for sure. It's February 1st. But if this is a guy that's batting 6th or 7th, he could run. He could just keep running, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He definitely could. He could. The last year, though, in the playoffs, he hit 8th, too.
Okay.
That's my only concern.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem like San Francisco has done really any
all that
changes.
Much. Yeah.
From the offensive perspective. But you got Jared Parker, who could be there. He could be a guy that could hit 8th. Him or Mack Williamson to play in the left field.
Left field, yep.
It'll be there. There's a chance if Nunez bats well, they could move him up to the two-hole and flip-flop him and Joe Panic.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's definitely possible. When it comes to shortstops, then, let me ask you this. A guy that's close to Eduardo Nunez that I want to ask you about. What about a guy like Jose Peraza, right? We're talking about former prospects, and Peraza won for Cincinnati that they kind of expect big things from. And I'm not sure where he's going to bat in the batting order, but last year, Peraza comes up. He plays 72 games, 256 plate appearances. He steals 21 bases, and that was in just 72 games. Is Peraza a guy that also on the rise here? I mean, he's only 20. He'll be 23 in April. Is Peraza a guy that, again, Scotty, he is ascending, and maybe we should like him more than Eduardo Nunez? What do you think, Peraza versus Nunez?
More than Nunez?
Well, I'm asking. He stole 21 bases in 72 games.
Well, look. The speed is definitely there. I mean, look, in 2013 and 504 plate appearances, he had 64 stolen bases.
Right.
So the speed is definitely there. You know, look at some of the projections. It's about 280 with about 25 steals. So, you know, if the guy gets the playing time, yes. But, you know, you're not going to get the same kind of power and RBI production, you know, because the power's never been there right in the minor leagues.
Right, absolutely. So this is a guy that is just a stolen base guy. The average.
This is a speed merchant.
Right. Yeah. He was 324. Maybe that's why we should have included him in the late speed conversation. Jose Peraza, for you, Tony, is this a guy that interests you over Eduardo Nunez and over Ender Inciarte?
Not over Nunez, but possibly Inciarte. The more and more I look at this kid, the more and more I like him.
Okay.
Because I think the batting average is going to be good, too, like Inciarte. Very similar there. But where he comes better than Inciarte is it's at second base. I don't have to give away that power position. So later in the draft, I still get that outfield position open. I can find an easier guy to get 20 home runs as opposed to second base. I'm going to have to make up the home run somewhere. So I'd rather do it in the outfield, and Peraza ends up being the better pick.
Okay. Peraza career, you know, overall major and minor leagues, the batting average is .312.
Interestingly enough, because I know Yahoo's a joke with eligibility, but if I had interesting, second base, shortstop, outfield eligible, all of these things for Jose Peraza.
He played six games in the outfield and five at second base last year.
And he was a shortstop
and one
coming
at DH.
Up. So he's going to play second base. Zach Cozart, I think, still a shortstop in Cincinnati. So
and he's going to look like, from what I'm reading, he's going to be playing every day, maybe because his glove is legit.
Right.
They like him. Like they like the things that he can do on
he's
that
got
side
some
of the
speed.
Place. And then he's got some speed in those legs, and he's got and the batting average. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
So this is a guy, this is dudes
that you can get stolen bases later on in the draft. It's not going to kill your batting average. Now they have no power that comes with them.
No,
there's
you know
one. There's one
That's
thing though. Yeah. Like remember your format, because in OBP leagues, you know, he doesn't walk a lot. So, you know, that's one thing you keep in mind.
That's why I can't believe his batting average is as good as he is.
Yeah,
like,
right?
If you gave me these numbers and you covered the batting average,
right.
I would never.
I would
brutal.
Say this guy hit, I'd say he hit .250 at best.
Right, absolutely.
Just because of the walks. Like, you can't be a young player and walk 2% of the time.
No,
that's unheard of.
That's unheard of, absolutely. To be fair, OBP last year was actually crazy at .352. Babbitt was .361. So you do expect this to come down here a little bit. Corey, let me ask.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about, like, we talked about a young player, right? Like a guy like Jose Peraza, that younger guy, ascending guy. But what about somebody that also stole around 25 bases last year, a little bit more pop than Jose Peraza? But someone that doesn't really excite people anymore, despite having a good year last year. Elvis Andrus, right? He has been a shortstop for Texas for a long time. He's been somebody that has let people down really year after year after year here. And last year he comes back, and I made sure there was no way I was getting anywhere near Elvis Andrus last season. But he winds up batting .302. The OBP was fantastic at .362. The home runs stayed consistent from where they were the year before, 7 home runs to 8 home runs. Stolen bases stayed consistent, 25 stolen bases in 2015, 24 in 2016. He was, over the last really 3 years, the guy he was on the back of the baseball card. The only thing that went up 50 points here was the average. Is that an outlier? I mean, the Babbitt was certainly higher than it was the year before.
Babbitt was 22 points above his career average.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So yeah. It was certainly higher than it has been. Elvis Andrus, is he somebody in this mix with Nunez and Peraza? Where do you have him with these type of guys?
Yeah, I think the plate discipline improved, so I think that's what you see, the improvement on the points on that batting average. The thing with this dude is the injuries, especially he's injured right now, coming into the season with a groin injury. Should be ready to go for the start of the season. So I'm going to go with the healthier player. So I would go with the two gentlemen above him. But Elvis Andrus, as long as we hear throughout the course of spring training that he's going to be healthy and ready to go returning from this groin injury, I think he's a legit option too.
Later so you're on going Nunez and Peraza over Andrus?
Over Andrus, Scott? Yes.
I definitely take Nunez because of the pop. I mean, Elvis Andrus, not a 302 hitter, obviously. I mean, more maybe about 270, 275. And you'll get 25 steals. I don't think you'll get much more than that. So I'll definitely take Nunez over him. You know, what's the ceiling for Peraza with the speed, though? I don't know. And maybe he'll give me a little bit higher of a batting average. There's some upside there. So I know what I get with Andrus. It doesn't excite me. So I'm going to leave Peraza and put him third.
Tony, what about you?
I'd put Andrus second. I agree with you. Nunez would be the guy first, okay, and Peraza third. And the reason being, with Andrus, I know what I'm going to get mm-hmm. a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 home runs, which can be more than Peraza. I'll get 25, 30 stolen bases. Mm-hmm. The stuff with Peraza is that it looks like great on paper, that 290 bat and everything. Like we said, the walks are there. Plus, he's a young player, so we don't know how he reacts there. He's got a good offensive ballpark to play in. And secondly, the shortstop position to me is weaker than second base this year.
Right.
And I'll take the shortstop. I'll get the 30 stolen base, and I'll get it out of the way. I mean, on my NFBC team, which is a 15-team league, I'm at shortstop with Orlando Arcia and Polanco from the Twins, who I actually really like late. You talk about he's going to get me double-digit home runs and double-digit stolen bases, but most people don't even know who he is.
Yeah, and you're not talking about Placido Polanco, of course. You are talking about Jorge Polanco.
Oh, Enrico Polanco.
He's going to bat number two in that.
Enrico Polanco.
He's going to bat number two in that order, too.
Jorge Polanco, the shortstop for Minnesota last year, 4 home runs, 4 stolen bases, to bat 282. One of those names, keep in mind, at the end of your draft, who... Those would be one of the guys, by the way, Tony. You're sitting in your home draft, and people go, who the F is Jorge Polanco?
No, that's exactly it. It got to around round 15, right? And I said, you know what? In round 23.
Right?
Round 23, I'm picking Jorge Polanco.
That's my neighbor.
That's your neighbor.
He's upstairs. Turn that down.
Let's take a break, guys, here. When we come back, I pick a team. And you let me know which of the following four, it's called Pick a Player, which of the four guys from this team do you want most? Stick around. Road to Experts in the Morning returns right after this. So I'm going to, over the next weeks, months, days, whatever, when we have time for it, pick a team and throw out a bunch of players that have similar ADPs. I want to know which one you guys are most interested in. And the reason I picked this team is somebody that Scotty mentioned yesterday. That's the Arizona Diamondbacks. Because Scotty was mentioning Brandon Drury, somebody that Rusty Ryle likes. And you can hear Scott and Rusty on Rusty's Fantasy over the weekend. So let me ask you this. Similar ADPs to the guys I'm going to mention. I want to know who you are most interested in. I will start with Scott because, you know, he was the one who came up with this team for today. So, Scotty, which of these Diamondbacks would you want the most? Brandon, no, you don't want to answer this question right now. Okay.
I don't want to be.
You
want to
go first.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I
didn't. Brandon Drury, who's Scott's boy. Jake Lamb. Yasmani Tomas or David Peralta. A couple of these guys last year were awesome. A couple of guys last year in drafts, they went pretty high. So out of those four, I'm going to go with Corey first now. Jake Lamb, Brandon Drury, Yasmani Tomas, David Peralta.
Give me El Tanque.
El Tanque?
Yes.
Why?
Because.
You didn't think the Y was coming?
No, I knew the Y was coming. I just didn't think you was going to catch on to the nickname, so you threw me off right there.
There's only one guy. The rest of you guys are Americans, so I was pretty confident.
Well, you know how he gets in clubhouses and locker rooms and stuff like that, so I was impressed by that. Nah, give me the batting average close to 280, 25 bombs, 25 to 30 home runs. He is a source of power that you can get after those top-tier power guys go. You know what I'm saying? His isolated power last year was... was in the top 25, up there with some of the best players in the game. I know, they got me to my isolated power, Scott. Up there with some of the best in the game at his ISO. So that's where you saw the boost come in last year. We see him slugging at, you know, his slugging rate went up also. And people talk about the RBIs, but when you get A.J. Pollock back in the lineup, not to mention the good ballpark, I think the RBIs can go up closer to 90 runs batted in this year. So give me Yasmani Tomas.
Are you ready to answer now, Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Greg.
You know, I got to agree with Corey on Tomas. That, you know, that was my guy. They were very excited about him coming over because they thought they could see this kind of power potential. And last year it became real, where you're looking at some potential with the with some of the other guys. Brandon Drury had a terrific September last year, ended up being a nice late season pickup, showed some power early in the season. I think you'll see that more over a full year this year. Jake Lamb's got the natural power, but you know he's got to hit lefties better. As far as Peralta, the potential is there, but he was a big disappointment last year.
I go the other way. I go to you, Tony Sincotta. Where are you? Which Diamondback do you want?
I'm going Jake Lamb. I look at the third base position. He's 26 years of age. He struggled last year against lefties, but still put up 29 home runs, 249 batting average. I think the average is going to be low, but I think he's a safer bet to repeat the home run numbers than a guy like Yasmani Tomas. The one problem with Tomas has is kind of like Mark Trumbo. He's terrible in the field. Like, I mean, I don't know. He needs to get to the American League as fast as he can. He gains weight every year. This is a guy that I'm scared to death of.
Tomas is a guy that I had last year. I drafted him. I thought it was a nice year, second year out of Cuba here, and I thought he was a really good pick last year. I wound up dropping him. Somebody else picked him up, and he had a good year, right? Like, yeah, as Corey described, Tomas had a nice year, but for the reason that you mentioned early on, he just wasn't playing every day. Like, he was getting pulled in the middle of games because he was a terrible fielder. They didn't really have a position for him. All these other guys were stepping up. So I missed out on most of Tomas's 31 home runs and the 272 average. But
if he was on any other team, he'd play first base. He can't play first base
with Goldschmidt, yeah. But I think those numbers are real, though, right? Like, I think that power is legit. I think the average 2 years in a row, I think it's legit. I think I know what we're getting out of him. If you're giving me 270, you're giving me 25 home runs, I'm taking that, guys.
I see where Tony's coming from with Lamb, too, because, you know, we've been hearing about this guy for a long time, and the natural power is definitely there. But I mean, feel safe with Tomas.
He hits the ball. You hear
another guy with 30 home runs, right?
They got some bats on this team. When Jake Lamb hit the baseball, you could hear it. Like it sounds. No, it doesn't.
What is wrong with you?
He's making animal noise.
When he hit the ball, it's like if you're doing something else in your room and you hear it, you look at the screen like, who was that? And it's Jake Lamb. So he's got a lot of power in that 26-year-old body.
So the name that most interests me that neither of you guys, any of the three of you guys said, was David Peralta. Who's David Peralta in 2015, right?
We heard so much about him last preseason.
Well, let's do it again. He played 149 games, 17 home runs, 9 stolen bases, and he batted .312. Everyone was incredibly excited about this guy. Last year, he just could not stay healthy. Batted .250, only had 4 home runs, 2 stolen bases. I believe now he is healthy here. If he's healthy, he's going to play every day, I would assume. Does that mean we should expect to get closer to those 2015 numbers? I mean, we know that he's not a spring chicken by any means. He's going to turn 30 in August, right? So he's not like this 25-year-old guy like some of the guys we have spoken about. So what David Peralta, Tony, should we expect? Like, what numbers should we expect out of this guy?
This is a tough one, and this is the advantage, though, if you like him, of drafting now compared to, like, when we get to spring training and people see him on the field, he's going to go up draft boards. You can get him really late right now, really late. Here's why I don't like David Peralta. His fly or ball rate's only 28%, so that leads me to believe that 17 home runs is not real, and that 8 home runs that he hit the year prior is there. I mean, you can't get that many home runs hitting that many balls in the air. His home run to fly ball ratio was 17% that year that they put up. And in 2014, when he hit the 8, it was 9%. So that doubled. I'm a little concerned, but you can make the case that he was 27 years of age, which has started your power production. He got it. So I think it could go either way, but I'm not betting on him. He's going in like the 20th round right now.
Yep.
I would definitely pick him there. But once people see him in spring training, I think he moves to the 14th, 15th round.
Right.
And then he's not a great pick to me.
Yeah.
Steamer has him at 273 with 15 home runs and 6 stolen bases.
So you're getting... That doesn't excite me so much, right? Yeah. 270 to 15 home runs.
We've never seen double-digit steals, although the potential certainly looked like it there from 2015. It was 517 plate appearances, you know, 9 stolen bases. You know, how aggressive is he going to be on the base path?
Right, and a new manager there, right? So we have no idea what they're going to be like. I think it's interesting. I think those numbers with the Steamer projections were, like, that doesn't interest me so much because, like, I can find a guy like about 270 to 15 home runs. Like, you know?
Yeah, meh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The last guy here that nobody chose was Brandon Drury, who you brought up yesterday, Scott, is somebody that Rusty Ryle really likes.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing our show this week. We're going to talk more about him.
So why don't you give us a little preview then?
Because Brandon Drury
played he hit 16 home runs last year. Didn't strike out 20% of the time, but batted .282, 16 home runs, only stole one base. He doesn't really steal. He basically, looking at these numbers, he was kind of like David Peralta here. Like, I don't know how to differentiate these two guys. What do you think, Scott?
I think you know, there's a lot of power potential. I think that people see with Brandon Drury, and it's not just Rusty Ryle. That this guy could be a sleeper for power. In 2014, at single A plus, he had 19 home runs in 478 plate appearances, and he had a really good September, like I was saying. So, I don't know how much polish he has at this point to really build on that over a full season. But I remember picking him up last year in one of my leagues, and him giving me a little bit of a nice power boost there towards the end. And you also saw some home runs early in the year. So I think they're looking to refine him more as an all-around hitter. The projections for them right now are like a 268 and 11. I think they're kind of conservative. I think, you know, this guy could probably hit more homers than that.
But what to me, I look at the numbers from last year for Drury and 2015 for David Peralta. I mean, they are basically the same. Every category, Peralta's a little bit better. Would you rather have Drury, who did it last year, or Peralta, Scott?
You're looking at Drury last night, like 500 plate appearances, 16 homers. I feel like there's more from the Drury backers. They feel like he has more upside. He's 24 years old.
Sure.
You know, there could be more 20-plus home run power for him.
The last season, he was able to start to line up the at-bat.
Plus, he qualifies at third in the outfield.
That's important, what Scott just said, too. Not to mention the fact that last season, his improvement versus right-handed hitting allowed him to get more plate appearances, and then you got to see the full range of his talent at the plate. So, listen, I think he's interesting. I like the...
I don't know what you're saying.
The homeboy that you were comparing him to.
Peralta?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like Drury more because of the youth and the ability to carry multiple positions.
Tony?
It's very similar numbers. You talked about Peralta. He doesn't hit fly balls either, so that to me would limit his power.
Okay.
But he is 24 years of age, so you could see corrections like you saw with Daniel Murphy throughout his career. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you refine one little thing, start getting the ball in the air, and could go deep. I think he has more promise than Peralta. I think Peralta is 29. I think he is what it is.
Sure.
I think Drury has some upside.
Okay, so let's just rank these four before we hit the final break of the hour here. How would you rank those four, Tony? Cincata.
I go Lamb, Tomas, Drury, and then Peralta.
Corey?
Tomas, Lamb, Drury, Peralta. Peralta, excuse me.
Tomas, Bat, Drury, and Peralta.
All right, there you go. So everybody has Drury, Peralta, 3-4. Scott and Corey have Yasmani, Tomas, and then Lamb.
What about you, Greg?
Tony flip-flops it. For me, I would go Tomas, Lamb, I guess I'll go Drury, Peralta. You guys told me that it's the age thing with Drury that I think he could still ascend.
Yeah.
Well, Peralta kind of is what
you know, like,
you guys proved that point to me.
You know, like we've said, power like is the last thing to come sometimes for the major leaguer.
Definitely. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back and wrap up with the baseball talk here for a Tuesday. Come up next. Or Wednesday. Come up next. You're the Roto Experts. so super interesting to me, it's really what we have been talking about. How power, and you can find 20 home runs anywhere, seemingly. And that's both fantasy and reality. So much so that the dude that led the majors in home runs last year, the National League, and Chris Carter, his agent, and this is, I'm sure, posturing, but his agent, former general manager of Arizona Diamondbacks, Dave Stewart, is saying he may go to Japan. This guy hit 41 home runs last year in the major leagues, and he may need to bring him to Japan. How is that possible? He can't find a job.
He just may not see the money out there he likes. And I've spoken to major leaguers before who've gone to Japan, and a lot of the guys I've spoken to about it kind of regret it after they do it.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
They just, you know, they feel like they're going to go over there and be a big star, and, you know, maybe it doesn't pan out like they want. You know, it's, I'm not just talking about the culture change. I'm just talking about, you know, they feel like they can go over there and make a lot of money, but
right.
You know, they don't become the standouts that they think they will.
Tony, let me ask you this. Like, I understand money is an issue. Money, 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 money. But how in the hell does Willy Moe Pena get a job, who hasn't played in the majors in 5 years, and Chris Carter, who led the major leagues in home runs last year, have to go to Japan?
Well, Willie Moe's got a $700,000, but it's not guaranteed, so he gets to go to spring training and
right.
see what happens
yeah.
there. So Chris Carter, I think, is looking for a lot more money than that. The problem is, we talked about his home runs are on the rise and his batting average is so poor, and I think that's the thing that's turning people off. I'm surprised that we don't have more DH positions of teams trying to take a shot at this guy.
I think it goes back to what you originally said, though, and it's really about money. It might be like saying, you're sitting here, Greg, saying, this guy led the league in home runs.
Right.
His agent's probably saying that, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, figuring they can go over there and, you know, be a highlight film over in Japan. You know, not only that, I got the sense from being around the Brewers last year that Carter's regarded as a really big clubhouse guy who can, you know, show, you know, takes a lot of younger players under his wing, et cetera.
Then they should have brought him back.
I think he has a very high estimation of himself, and he's not seeing the kind of dollar signs out there that he wants to.
But fine, so he's going to go to Japan, right? Like, let's say he had a billion bombs in Japan. He hit 41 last year in the majors. What else do you want? What do you get? He's not going to go to Japan.
You sound like his agent.
He struck out 206 times last year.
Sure.
People don't like that.
But if Mark Reynolds can get a job hitting 200 strikeouts every year.
He's a liability on defense, too. He's liability defensively, so he has to kind
of. He's very streaky. He'll hit the home runs in bunches, and then he'll go quiet for a while, and it'll hurt the team.
But I think people are saying that Tampa Bay the Rays, you know what I'm saying?
That makes plenty of sense.
At the Rays, are probably
the first base, sure.
At the Rays, are probably the place where he can wind up playing his baseball at this year. I don't know. It seems like he should be on the team. When I saw this last night, I was like, "Damn, son, got to go to Japan." I know he's upset with that. Not to say anything wrong with Japan, but
first. The advantage of going to Japan is they keep making those King Kong movies, and he might be able to get in one of them.
True.
That was you didn't get that.
Well, I got it.
That's crazy.
I understand. I was. You understand what I was doing?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So Chris Carter to me. Not the one that we're calling Odell Beckham Jr. all the time.
Oh, me? Oh, come on.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Like, if you're going to Japan to build value, go to Colorado, you hit 75 home runs.
No, boy.
I think that's a misnomer about Colorado, though. I've heard it before that, like, you know, Colorado is an offensive park because people hit homers. It's, you know, not necessarily true.
They don't hit homers in Colorado?
No, but I'm saying is people think it's an offensive park because, you know, more attuned to extra base hits than just a pure homer park.
There was more home runs hit last year in the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Great. Go to the Yankee Stadium and 75 home runs. That sounds great.
Oh, they only got Greg Bird there, right?
Yeah.
What the hell?
They got a battle going on at first base there.
Yeah. I mean, it's Greg Bird and it's Tyler Austin, but like you don't really have, you know, it's not like you have an older guy there. I mean, Matt Holliday can play a little first base, but like, sure, look, Chris Carter go to Yankee Stadium and go to the friggin' right field porch, hit 75 home runs. Awesome. Sounds great.
You sound like you sound like his agent. That's why he's still a free agent.
Coors Field was third in home runs last year. Chase Field in Arizona actually was second.
Go back up Paul Goldschmidt. Fine. I don't know. 41 home runs. Have to go to Japan? That just doesn't sound right to me. When we come back, time for Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl trivia. Corey Parson, host. We turn to Super Bowl 51 this Sunday. Trivia is next. You're the Roto Experts.